Hello. Welcome to Bus Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
We're going to be covering Agent Carter, Season 2, Episode 1, The Lady in the Lake.
This is not someone who is going to be distributing swords, is it?
No, I don't think so.
No sword distribution? That's kind of disappointing.
Not to my knowledge, no.
Pardon me?
Not to my knowledge, no.
And no singing, no scat, no... Aww.
No scat.
Like in
not in Holy Grail. No. Not in Spamalot. She doesn't she rarely scats.
She can though.
She could.
She definitely could.
She can do anything.
Yeah, well, sadly this lady in the lake may have some struggles with that. But hey, whatever. That's what they're calling this episode. So we have our usual disclaimers, which include that there will be cursing, quite likely. There will be spoilers, because you really probably should see this show, and many people have not. Mm-hmm. And we are having things to drink. Again, we're on the unusual path of things to drink. What are you having to drink, Natalie?
I'm having not your father's root beer, which is just alcoholic root beer, essentially.
But does it taste alcoholic?
Less than you'd think. Which does make it dangerous.
Yes, I can imagine that it would. I did have a taste of it, and it really is tasty. I like it a lot. Because of course I'm also a root beer person. And my dad was very into root beer.
Sarsaparilla.
But yeah, so I am having a bourbon mimosa, which is actually quite good under these circumstances. So I'm feeling pretty good. You feeling pretty good?
Under these circumstances.
Well, you know.
What circumstances would those be?
Things that should involve whiskey, because let's face it, Peggy Carter wants some freaking whiskey in this episode.
She needs a drink, and we'll talk about that later.
Yes, and she's a whiskey drinker. So there we go.
Neat. Anyway, let's get into episode one, season two, episode one, The Lady in the Lake. Dottie, dressed like Peggy, is robbing a bank to get access to a safety deposit box.
Iconic. She has the whole hat thing on. It is hilarious.
She essentially does what Peggy did, like walking against the grain in a colorful suit with the hat. Mm-hmm. And she now has brown hair. And I'm surprised she didn't go for the accent, but she didn't. But she gets caught by Peggy, and the other people in the bank are revealed as SSR agents, including Thompson.
Yeah,
Thompson. And Dottie and Peggy fight. Peggy knocks her out and gets her in cuffs, but she's used to that.
She likes it that way.
We see old footage of Hollywood, 1947. It is now 1947, and we see Sousa is there as a quote scientific officer for the SSR meeting with the homicide detective on the Lady of the Lake killings. So there's this guy who has been killing these ladies and putting them in a lake.
But this is like an unusual one even for them, because part of the lake is frozen. We see that. And the lady, the woman, is in a block of ice, which is like, oh my, something is wrong.
Meanwhile, in NYC, Peggy is interrogating Dottie about her handlers in Russia and other communists in the area. Dottie mocks her, and then Peggy unlocks her cuffs and is just like, I'm not afraid of you.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. And then Sousa apparently has gotten pulled in.
Also, she found a pin in the deposit box that Dottie was looking for. And so she's curious about that. Go on, Sousa.
It's got a weird symbol on it. Sousa, meanwhile, has been brought in as an SSR agent to assist on this Lady in the Lake killing, and he feels like they need extra help because it's extra weird. So he calls Thompson. He's like, hey, you know, we're trying to establish this office. We don't have people. Can you send me an agent?
He's the chief now of the LA SSR.
Right. So he asks Thompson, who's the chief of the New York SSR, hey, can you send me an agent?
And send me a guy specifically. And Thompson goes, I have just the guy for you.
And it's Peggy. He pulls Peggy out of the interrogation and says, yeah, I'll handle the interrogation. You go do your own.
It's not like Peggy knows her. He does make a fair point of Peggy's like, well, I know her best. I lived next to her this entire time. And he's like, and you didn't know she was a secret agent. So I mean, and it's like, okay, fair point.
It is a fair point.
You got me there.
Yeah. Definitely a fair point.
Yeah. So Thompson tells Peggy she's going because Sousa asked for her. He didn't, which makes this even more. I, you know, Thompson has grown on me. He is now like an agent of chaos, his first name agent, and he just loves stirring shit up. And so he's kind of turned into, you know, Colin in the Bridgerton books. He's turned into the guy who like stirs something up and then just sits back and eats a sandwich.
And it's like, so popcorn, please.
Yeah, really. He's such a petty little bitch. And honestly, living for it. He wants to stir shit up so much, or he's trying to make them do something. We don't know what happened, but a lot for those not in the know, stuff's
going on. He knows there's like chemistry and shit.
For those not in the know, the last time we saw Peggy and Sousa at the end of season one, they were going to get a drink together, and that seemed like it might be going somewhere, perhaps. No.
No, apparently not, because as we find out,
clearly something happened. What? Clearly something happened between them, to the point where Sousa felt okay with going over to LA, which is completely across the country, and starting up the LA SSR branch, and Peggy stayed behind. So something happened there, but, and also her reaction to like being who Sousa picked, according to Thompson, she's like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll definitely go. Cause I mean, if Sousa needs me, I mean, I'll help him.
I think you're interpreting that some of that a little bit incorrectly, or remembering incorrectly. So at the end of season one, Thompson says that he's going to buy Peggy a drink.
No, that was in a different episode of season one. I don't think it was.
But she invites Sousa, and he's like, "No, I've got things to do," and he doesn't go. I think that she's now willing and he's not.
Yeah, no, that's definitely the vibe that they're giving off. But I thought that, I know that's correct that happened, but I thought that happened in a different episode, not the finale.
No, I don't think they went for a drink in the finale. Anyway, so as happens now, Peggy shows up in LA and she's like, oh, you asked for me. And Susan's like, no.
Well, okay, there are a few things that happened before then.
Jarvis picks her up. This is so great. I love him so much.
Yeah, okay, then you completely missed him. So she arrives in LA and meets Jarvis there with a little parasol, which is just an umbrella, but he's using it just to get away from the sun. And he's there. White. Okay. Lily white face.
Yes, British man.
Jarvis is there because Stark has a defense project there, and he's setting up what Jarvis is doing, he's setting up Stark's mansion in LA, including a flamingo, which will be so like funny. Such a pain in his ass that it's funny. It's
fantastic. It's so good.
And Stark right now is being like a producer for and opening a movie studio at this point. And so he's off doing that. So that's why Stark isn't there. Jarvis wants to help her navigate LA, and he wants something new to do because he's really bored. Right. He wants to be her chauffeur, essentially, because, you know, they got up to all those wacky hijinks when he was her chauffeur before. Why not now?
Yes.
So they make it to the office. Rose, who was from the first season, she is now the secretary in LA, and she is heading But basically the front, instead of it being like a telephone business like it is in New York, it's a talent agency that's just not functioning.
It's not really a talent agency. So they just audition people and say no.
It's so sad. Like, those poor people are probably so depressed. Anyway, Peggy goes into the office and meets with Sousa. And this is the part where you were talking
right about that's where I was.
Yeah, so that's where you were. Not important.
Yeah, but the other stuff is fun with flamingos. So Sousa, it's so awkward, and she points out that he never returned her calls. Like, she called him multiple times.
Yeah, what the fuck is that about?
That is uncool. And he's like, and
those miles just got longer. And
I just, you know, things happen.
That makes sense, Sousa.
Right. So they talk about what they've got from an evidentiary standpoint, and they
with Detective LA,
there's an LA homicide detective, the same guy we saw earlier, is with them, and they have this discussion about how the body's frozen, legs frozen, and the homicide detective is assuming that they're related, and Peggy's like, why are you assuming that? You can't assume anything about that. You know, SSR was started in a situation where those thing kinds of things were unrelated. So you need to look at the source of each thing. Let's go see the body. So they go see the body, but the body is actually frozen all the way through and glows in the dark. The
And
shoes are on
also,
the wrong feet, you know.
that's a, the shoes being on the wrong feet is a signature of the Lady of the Lake killings of that serial killer. And the only people who knew that were the actual killer themselves and the police. And they never released that as public record.
Right.
So.
But one of the things Peggy had pointed out is it's like, look, this body could have been in the lake for a long time and the lake just froze and that's how you found it. So, you know, we need to figure out what's going on here. But the fact that she's glowing from the inside is like,
That's
maybe these
alarming.
things are related.
Maybe, just maybe.
Maybe. So they go to see Dr. Samberly or
Yeah,
something
that's his
like
name.
that.
He's the lab tech.
He's the lab tech. He tells them that the substance that they got an extraction from the body is some sort of iodine energy
Well,
isotope
it's
from a part.
uranium.
Yeah, it's from a particle accelerator. There's only one in the area that's in Pasadena, and it's with iodine energy. Sousa flirts this with the receptionist at iodine energy to cover for the fact that Peggy is going to sneak back and find out what's going on in the secret lab.
To the
Not
secret
that
lab. It is giving off that energy, to be fair. It
it's
is the
killing you.
easiest lab to break into ever.
It's really
This
sad.
will be apparent so many times.
Yeah, but so there's this cute lab guy who's a doctor who pulls Peggy in to see his latest experiment, which is basically making wine from chemicals. And she's like,
And
oh,
he's
you're a
hot.
genius. Pardon me?
And he's hot.
And he's hot. There we go. He is shown the picture of the dead girl. I recognize her as Jane, who worked closely with their boss, whose name is Calvin. I always just refer to him as boss or the target of the investigation because he is.
I always just call him Calvin.
Calvin Chadwick, who is the owner of Isodyne, and apparently Jane worked closely with him and also worked in a division that would have been close to this particle reactor.
Well, worked closely, as in they had an affair.
Yeah, he spells it out like that clearly, and she's like, "Yeah,
Exactly.
I get it, I get it, I get
They were having sex. It's like, okay.
it."
All right, thank you. Figured that out.
That is penis. So, he gives Peggy, the doctor does, Dr. Will gives Peggy his personal number because he's hello, penis. So, the
Uncalled for.
they find out that the owner is running for the Senate and that he is going to be campaigning at some racetrack. The homicide detective is like, oh, well, you know, we can't go at him directly. We'll use the power of the press to like kind of suss out suspects, whatever. And Peggy's like, no. And she's wanting to get in an argument about it. And Suze is kind of like, yeah, homicide guy, you go do that. And then he says, yeah, Peggy, you go undercover to the races, which is what she had wanted to do. It's
Both
like,
of you do what you wanted to do.
hey. And they both could work. So you go, Sousa.
Honestly, like, whatever works.
Yeah,
And
exactly. Well,
then, Peggy's looking.
this is
Okay, so
so
listen.
great.
Peggy is going to borrow clothes from Mrs. Jarvis, who's been perpetually off screen. But now she is Gaylis Duncan from Outlander.
Holy shit. Now you actually skipped over one of my favorite flamingo things.
Oh, sorry.
So she goes back to Howard's house, Peggy does, to get this outfit so she can get changed to go to the races. And Jarvis is chasing the flamingo who just won't stay in his pen. He's loose on the lawn and he refers to him, oh, he's just a devil in pink. And we get to see Mrs. Jarvis, who is like, oh my God, it's Gaylis Duncan. And she clearly like has Jarvis under some sort of sex spell. It's just
They're very passionate.
very, very, it's very funny.
But it's also sweet.
Yeah, it's cute. It's cute.
It's not like a malicious thing.
No.
Anyway, she Galus, sorry, Anna also gives Peggy a garter that's also a holster, which I'm surprised she didn't have before. But either way, Peggy and Jarvis go and check out Calvin and his wife Whitney Frost, who is a movie star. Jarvis talks to Whitney about a potential part in one of Stark's new pictures, which he completely made up. And Peggy talks to Calvin and mentions Jane's name very unsubtly.
I absolutely love the way she does this, though. She starts out sounding like an American political mover and shaker, like, oh, you're such a great politician. I love you so much. And she has this great American accent. And then, like, mid-conversation, she switches back to being Peggy.
Yeah,
it's really well done.
Yeah, it's great. And then she mentions that Jane is dead and reveals her identity. Jarvis is very bad at improv. Like, he's just making wild, like, claims about this movie.
I'm Jarvis.
He's trying his best. He's trying his, hey, pal.
Exactly.
I'm just a pal. It's giving that. It's that yes. energy. He just doesn't know what to say.
I'm really bad at being a spy.
Anyway, Aes Sedain works with secret government contracts, so the SSR needs clearance before they search the lab. So Peggy, Sousa, and Detective Henry go back to the medical examiner, but he is frozen and breaks into a ton of pieces when they touch him.
Yeah, it's bad. It's really bad.
Donnie, meanwhile.
So then we go back to New York, and this is one of those things that really gets on my nerves. So even when Peggy was interrogating Dottie, she took the handcuffs off because, like, I'm not afraid of you. It's like, that's fucking stupid, okay? Why would you do that? So Thompson goes in and takes the handcuffs off and says he's not afraid too. And she attacks him and, like, pins him with the table.
So easily, like one swift movement.
Yeah, it's like, what it doesn't kind of take dumbass much. Person is this? But she attacks him, the homicide detective. And
she also gets detained, so she's not, like, on the loose.
Yeah, she's not on the loose. She does get restricted.
But she's like, I need Peggy. And it's like, okay.
All right. Then we go back to L.A., and the LAPD homicide detective, and I noted this early, like, it was very early on when they first showed him. He has a cold. He's constantly, like, sneezing and blowing his nose and stuff. Peggy brings in Dr. Wilt to
Wilkes. I thought it was Wilkes.
It could be. but she brings him in about, like, hey, what do you think could cause all of these things? Dottie is being interrogated. She has a pin that was in a safe deposit box. And it's still a mystery. She does not reveal what it is. The FBI takes custody of Dottie.
You've skipped quite a bit.
Did I?
Yeah. Detective Henry, not doctor, tries to get water from the fountain, but it freezes. That's weird. Sousa tells Peggy that the stab wounds were inflicted after death to frame the serial lake killer. And the only people who would know the signature of the late killer are the killer and the police. So they are like, oh God, it's Detective Henry who killed this woman or framed this person. And so Henry then holds Dr. Wilkes at gunpoint and knocks Jarvis out and takes the car. And
I don't know how I missed this, because I had it written down and, like, there was some sort of bad edit, like things were cut out.
No,
I don't know if it, like, skipped or something. I don't know.
Somehow. I don't know what happened there. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was your Disney Plus or something. I'm not sure. But he wants Wilkes to fix him. And then we go over to Thompson and Dottie.
Okay.
That's a lot of, like, important stuff.
Why is he with this detective? I didn't really understand. It didn't make
any sense. Well, now
you know. Now I know. If something happened with my Disney Plus and it screwed things up, if this happens to you, that's why you need to listen to our episodes so you actually know what actually happened.
Now you know why there's a weird edit in there.
Yeah, there is not a weird edit. It's just me. So
I hope
there's
not.
A weird editor, apparently. So the FBI takes custody of Dottie, and they're acting like they're going to cut her loose, which is really kind of bizarre.
I thought I was getting a different vibe. I was getting the vibe that they were taking under custody, and Dottie says, well, tell Peggy I say goodbye. And so she's assuming they're going to kill her.
I was actually not getting that, but that's possible. So the person who's in charge of that is the same politician who had come in and promoted Thompson, and he's going to take Thompson for a drink. Meanwhile, we're back in LA,
Sousa
and
and Peggy pursue Detective Henry while she takes care of Jarvis in the back seat, who really is rearing to go because now he's been slighted. And they find the car frozen on the side of the road near a bridge, or not a bridge, but I guess a overpass. And Peggy gives Jarvis a gun, which is always a great idea.
He's like,
Henry,
yeah, what
Doc
do
Detective Henry, I keep calling him Doctor. Detective Henry cleans up other people's messes for money, so he framed the killer. So he was paid a lot of money to clear up this mess.
Right.
Wilkes gets away, and Peggy finds him and ensures his safety by like pushing him up against a
Very
pillar.
sexually, by the way, very sexually.
Very charged, but we're not
Yes.
mad at it. I'm not mad at it.
No.
Henry sneaks up on Sousa, but he's too covered in frost to do anything, and he gets shot to smithereens by a police officer on the scene who was told not to shoot, but he didn't have his radio on him, apparently, according
Yep.
to him.
Whoops.
Oops. Thompson, meanwhile, is getting that drink with that FBI guy or the senator or whatever, whatever position he holds.
Political.
Political guy, who got him a job in the SSR in the first place because him and his dad and him are friends, and he essentially wants credit for getting Dottie, and they're just like, no, you're going to sit down, you're becoming irrelevant, so you need to just be grateful that we even are like associating with you right now.
Well, right, because what they say is SSR is a wartime agency, it's going to be phased out. And so you need to like get with the times and make yourself relevant.
And we'll give you a nice little job that is suitable for you, which it sounds like he's just going to be put in like a corner office, not doing anything for the rest of his
Yeah, like,
life.
can you answer the phones, dear? Yeah, just like that. So the head of this chamber, what is his name, Chadwick guy, he pays off the cop that killed the Detective Henry, and his wife's like, good, we don't have to deal with these minions anymore. The Peggy also then asks Sousa to go for a drink, and he declines again. And we see that Daniel has a girl and
Ooh, a girlfriend.
a
That makes
girlfriend.
it sound weird if you're just like, he has a girl.
Oh, sorry. And Peggy is downcast and depressed. And
But no, it turns into like the funniest thing in the world to me when she is looking, she's in the office on like the second level, and she's looking down on them from the blinds in like one of the, in like I think maybe Sousa's office because she said she forgot something. And she sees
Right.
Sousa go across the street, meet up with this girl, and kiss her and get into a car. And then Jarvis pulls up down there and is just like, hi, I'm down here. I parked over here. Imagine if Sousa looked back and it's just like, Peggy just saw that.
Yeah,
It would be so
exactly. It's
funny.
like,
But
yeah,
Jarvis just
Peggy
being like,
did.
hello, I'm down here. I parked in the middle of the street.
I am like not an undercover dude in any way. I mean, of course we drive around in these big luxury vehicles that are Howard's anyways.
Honked the horn. He was just like, it was again a very, hey pal, I'm just a pal moment.
Oh, but right at the end of this episode, we see Dr. Wilkes looking
Yeah,
at dark
Wilkes.
matter in its container at Aes Sedai.
Ruh-roh.
Ruh-roh, exactly. So he
Ruh-roh
knows shit. Da da da.
Uh-oh.
What were your best parts of this episode?
The awkwardness with Peggy and Sousa. I like the drama. I like if this show had gone on for like a lot longer and they kept doing the will they won't they, I probably would feel differently. But I like that I like the way they're kind of doing this relationship with her and Sousa, being that in the first season, obviously it was like unrequited love, all that stuff with on Sousa's end. And then Peggy was in this situation where she couldn't get past her like feelings about Steve. And so she felt like she couldn't, like, I don't know, take anything to the next level. And so once she finally gets up the courage to do that and like feels like complete enough to do that, he starts like drifting away. And it makes sense, because at some point you just kind of, an unrequited love can only go so long without it being becoming really sad. And so, and after all the like people who berated him about, like, not even berated, but just were like, yeah, no, there's no chance, dude. the entirety of last season. And so him having a girlfriend and like a new life in Los Angeles, and her now being the one who's still stuck in the past in a certain sense, is it makes a lot of sense for Peggy's character.
Yeah.
Because now that she's caught up with the times, now she's even further behind, which it's deep. I don't know.
yeah, it's philosophical.
Good job, me. Well done, deep me. Interesting new case. I like the case. I think it's cool. I like the name they gave it. I like the Lady in the Lake killer. I think that, okay, I don't like the killer, but you know what I mean? Like, I like the case that we have been given. I like the new kind of element that we're working with. We're still working with like these mad scientists doing things in the lab and stuff like that, but it's different mad scientists for now. Cool. And it's at least it's something a little bit different. Anna Jarvis, I love her. I love Galus. I love her energy. I love the holster garter. Love that. Dr. Wilkes, he's smooth, but he's also a dork. But it's like a good combination of both. It's weird how well it works, because he's just like, oh, hey, random woman I've just met, you want to see my little concoction? But also he's like, oh yeah, here's my card, but also do you want my personal number? And maybe I don't know, maybe I should get your personal number. And she's just like, no. But I like how smooth he is, but also he has an air of mystery around him. That's always fun. And also Dottie being crazy. I like that they haven't completely given up on Dottie. I think that since you had an open-ended ending for Dottie in the last season, it only makes sense to bring her back. And her just being so, like, if she didn't want to be there, she would just leave. Like, she could easily overpower everyone in that department. And she knows that her only somewhat equal in that, in many ways, is Peggy. And so her just proving to Thompson that he is way in over his head is very funny to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, there's
a little girl.
Little girl.
Little girl. So my best part, I love Peggy and Jarvis. I mean, I just
oh I didn't love, even put Jarvis. I love Jarvis.
Well, and that whole undercover thing at the races, I think, is hilarious. I love the whole I love
him Jarvis in the car. Anyway. Sorry, really quickly, just adding to mine, him in the car going, I parked down here. That's my
him
favorite.
Chasing
thing in the
world. Flamingo. I mean, I just adore it. It's so funny. I love Peggy and the Peggy and Susan energy. I enjoy that too, because I, again, you know, that unrequited will they, won't they can be a really great, and this is being well done. It's well acted. So yeah, I like it a lot. I like Wilkes. He's a question mark though, because I think he kind of fits both into best and worst. I like his dorkiness. I like the performance, obviously, is fantastic. But I feel like there are some good things and some bad things. I really love the fight sequences. I didn't write down Galus Duncan. That's who she's going to be forever.
She's going to be Galus forever. She is so iconic in that role.
Now that I've seen her on Outlander, the second I saw her, I'm like, oh, she's a bad girl.
Trusted. And yet she's probably one of the most trustworthy people.
Well, or is she? So we're only on season 1, 2, episode 1. What are you talking about? You don't know that. So yeah, what were your worst parts?
Dr. Henry, sorry, Detective Henry. Why did I put doctor? I kept saying doctor. And I mean, detective.
I don't know.
Detective Henry just being like, I'm for hire. I got a lot of money and now I'm freezing to death and I'm going to hold you hostage even though you can't really do anything for me. Like, what was your plan? Like, I'm so confused. Like, I understand his idea of like, oh well, Dr. Wilkes has worked with this stuff before, clearly, but what was the plan, dude? Like, I don't think he had a sound plan. and Calvin.
Yeah, he's just desperate. Yeah.
And Calvin and Whitney for being weirdos and like ordering hits on people and doing bad things.
Yeah, Calvin and Whitney are just generally terrible, but they are clearly like the bad guys in this season. So I don't find them super compelling yet. Mm-hmm. They're there in this episode. Are you done with your worst parts?
Yes, I am.
I had the bad edit as the worst part, but apparently there's no bad edit. So that can't be a worst part. But Wilkes, I find the fact that he is lying to Peggy about the dark matter thing unnerving, because of course I want to like him. But again, it shows the layers of this performance, and I think it's really pretty good. What grade did you give this episode?
B+. I like it. I like the energy still being there. I think that's just gonna be like this entire series is B+, but except for like really major episodes. But like I really loved. Oh God, I can't believe I didn't add Jarvis to my best parts before you mentioned it. He's like such a highlight in this episode, and him just being like rearing to go and being like, "I'll be the agent. I have the gun." It's like, okay, calm down, buddy. I love you, but no, you go chasing flamingos. Don't go chasing waterfalls. Chase flamingos. But
there should be a song.
Stick to the flamingos that you're used to. Anyway, I don't know why I just quoted Destiny's Child slightly. Anyway,
because maybe Destiny's children were actually like being raised in a weird building in Russia,
or maybe Klaus from Umbrella Academy has already
gotten no Destiny's children. Waterfalls. There you go.
So funny. Anyway, yeah, I really like this episode. I like the upbeat stuff, but also the drama with both the mystery and with like. Relationships. Sorry, I completely forgot the word relationships that like people are having, like Sousa and Peggy. So I like that.
I give this a B+ also. I think you know, some one of the things that I didn't mention earlier as a best part, and I do consider this the best part, is I like the setting, them moving them from New York to Hollywood.
Yeah,
that 40s Hollywood thing, I think. And first of all, of course, for me, it's like, ooh, it's like set at Disney Hollywood Studios, or it's, you know, California Adventure, or, you know, like it's got that theme park element to it.
It does.
But not in a, it's not wholly corny, but it's a little corny and it's kind of fun. So you do have this kind of candy colored, happy comic book element going on with this too, but it's good. It's good. I'm enjoying it. Yeah. So we're Me looking too. Forward to having more things drink. Wait, no.
Yeah, that too. I will admit, I don't, when I think of Agent Carter, I think mostly of the first season. I have fewer clear memories of the second season. I remember liking it, but I forgotten about like Dr. Wilkes and
yeah.
I remember the zero. Well, sorry, that's probably on the next episode. But I remember there being like some kind of element like that, like dealing with like the black science. Goo. But
science.
I
science.
But I have forgotten a lot about this, so I'm excited to see more.
Yeah, me too. And I think that we're going to have a good time with it. We hope that you join us. And
cheers.